Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Puritans, the Pioneers, the Robber Barons. I welcome Ronald W. Dworkin, a fellow at the Institute for Advanced Studies in Culture, University of Virginia. Professor, a very good evening to you. Your essay at Civitas Outlook, part of Civitas Institute, is highly entertaining. At the same time, revelatory of these last decades that I've lived through with the word conservatism floating all around me. I used to be so frustrated with my understanding that I would say, Republican, okay? No modifier, Republican. But that's not adequate to the years we passed through in the presidential epochs. And we're now in an unusual epoch, we'd have to say the least, for Republican presidents. However, to begin at the beginning, you identify 3 strands of conservatism in America based upon what you'd have to say, opera. The Puritan, the Pioneer, and the Robber Baron. Let's begin with the Puritan. What is the characteristic of the Puritans who prospered in America? Good evening to you, Professor.
Thank you. All 3 character types I sort of describe teasingly but lovingly. The Puritan type, all the 3 types are well known to students of American history. The Puritans were religious, somewhat intolerant, ascetic, eager to tear sin out of the human heart, and saw America in moral terms. That would be the best description of the Puritan, at least as understood in the 18th century.
That was the Shining City on a Hill lot, yes?
Yes, that would be John Winthrop, Shining City on the Hill, a phrase used later, we can talk about that, by Reagan when describing the U.S. facing the Soviet Union in the Cold War. But yes, that would be the John Winthrop, City on the Hill, and the Great Awakening, Jonathan Edwards, and so on.
And you say this, Puritan, in recognition of the skills and the achievement. Is that correct, Professor?
Yes. Now, there's obviously a tendency. It was described by, in the 20th century, by Aldous Huxley. He observed that there's a tendency among Puritans to want to hush people, to silence them. He described it as wearing fig leaves over their mouths. At the same time, that intolerance also led to a kind of a vigorous energy and discipline, self-discipline, that helped the Puritans and the colonialists in general to drain swamps and build cities out of wilderness. And they were important to building the country. That dynamic energy went hand in hand with a certain kind of asceticism and unpleasant intolerance that the Puritans evinced.
Now we come to the second, the Pioneer, which is forever identified with Natty Bumppo and the Last of the Mohicans. What do we say of conservatives who are pioneers? What do they look like in the beginning?
In the beginning, the pioneers, the days of the covered wagon are long over, but the pioneers were steadfast, confident, optimistic, forward-looking. They disliked worrying about identities based on birth, because in the wilderness, birth meant nothing. Everyone had to work. They also wanted to take care of their own activities by themselves. They didn't like government. They'd rather take care of their own affairs. These people were basically eager to go out and tame the wilderness, and they had a can-do spirit, which would be, I think you would see it. And I said most of the pioneer tracks, but you see today in the people who with the can-do spirit who go out in Silicon Valley years ago and built their industries, or the wildcatters who built oil wells in Texas, or in North Carolina, the Research Triangle. These people have a kind of an eagerness to create something new, and do have this forward-thinking confidence. They too, like the Puritans, their energy was necessary to build the country.
What is the opinion of the state?
The pioneers were out usually in the West, and they didn't like the state interfering with their affairs. They want to be able to go and develop their own resources or industries or whatever they were panning for gold. And they didn't really want the state looming over them, telling them what to do and how to live. They thought they could just take care of their lives better than any distant government in Washington or any state capital could.
The robber barons, that would be associated forever with certain characters in the game Monopoly. What do we say of conservative robber barons, and what did they do look like in the beginning?
Robber barons would come later, around the middle to late 19th century. Jay Gould would be an example. These people are very rich. And unlike the pioneers, who always think there's enough wilderness in the area for everyone to participate in, the robber barons are very competitive with one another. They like to fight, so bank against bank, railroad against railroad. And they, by virtue of their great wealth, they always think that they might be able to engage in a little bit of law breaking, which they did from time to time. But they also were quite vain in their own way. They would build a lot of museums and symphony halls and libraries and make sure those names, their names are put on it. They too had the energy and the moxie. Sometimes they were a little bit duplicitous to help build the country. So all three, in their own way, the pioneers, the Puritans, the robber barons, all three contributed in their own way to the building of America.
Now, what is important here is you have the magic of saying they're all still three with us, and they're all still conservative, sort of. That's an important point
because I say that there are conservative and liberal variants of both types. That's important when understand the politics of the last, say, 50 years. So they also have different interests in different forms, different political forms. So a Puritan of the 18th century will look very different from a Puritan of, say, the 1980s, who looks very different from the Puritan of the 1990s and today. They have different interests. They evolved. They're living people. Unlike the schools of conservatism, which are an orthodoxy based on abstract concepts and which do not evolve, economic conservatism is today what it was 50 years ago. Free trade, less regulation, no taxes. It has never changed. And most of the conservatives do not change because they are not alive. But people do change. These character types, which still live and still roam the country, they evolved, as all living people do. And as their interests change and their ideas change, their politics change too.
In 1964, we can fairly say conservatism was not welcome at the ranch. In 1980, with the election of Ronald Reagan, it was. So let's put the three into action with the Reagan administration.
Okay. Now, when we look back at the Reagan administration, most people, most conservatives, think of it as the peak of conservatism. It's when there was the three major types of conservatism: economic conservatism, social conservatism, and neoconservatism, or foreign policy conservatives, united together. And that created the conservative coalition that ruled all through the 1980s. Well, okay, you can look at it that way. But another way to look at it is through the prism of the character types. Who were the social conservatives? Well, they were the dominant Puritan type of that day. So they were pro-life, for example, and moral majority and family values. Who were the dominant economic conservatives of that day? Well, they would be yuppies who want to start out and make their money as they did, and robber barons who already had money and wanted to keep it. Who were the neoconservatives? Well, they might be Puritans who believed in looking at America as a city on the hill. We just mentioned that. And they also might be robber barons and yuppies who were eager to make their fortune in the defense industry that increased with Reagan's coalition, Reagan's government. So you can look at it as look at the Reagan coalition as the union of three conservative schools. But I think far better to look at it as the union of three dominant types during that era of the Puritan, the pioneer, and the robber baron. And those types would not, they would evolve, and the conservative types would not dominate in the coming years. That's the problem.
Did we identify all three as neoconservatives?
No. The neoconservatives, that itself has evolved a little bit, but neoconservatives are largely, it was based on foreign policy, aggressive action in other countries, pushing American power, getting American power involved in other conflicts, looking at America as sort of the dominating element in the world order. That would be foreign policy neoconservatism. That's not the same as, say, the interests of the social conservatives, who were interested in the social issues, like in the time, abortion and the changing of the nature of the family and so on. And economic conservatives were, you know, disciples of Hayek. They were interested in free trade and deregulation, everything. Now, they found an interest in neoconservative ideas, but they're not the same.
Now we have three boomer presidents, Mr. Clinton, Mr. Bush, and Mr. Obama. How did they deal with these three types of conservatives?
Okay. But again, it's not three types of conservatives. It's three types of three character types.
Okay.
So economic conservatism, social conservatism, neoconservatism, they began to, you know, people lost some faith in them. But it's more important to look at the character types. Look at the Puritans. The Puritan types in the 1980s, the moral majority, family values types, for example, they began to evolve. There were a lot of people, myself included, for example, who were more sympathetic to pro-choice positions. Okay, and they were still somewhat conservative socially, but they had moved leftward a bit. And say the economic conservatives, well, they liked the globalization that Clinton promised. They also liked unbridled immigration, lots of labor coming in. And they didn't like the higher taxes that Clinton promised, but they did like the lowering of capital gains taxes. So a lot of pioneers and robber barons, they might be attractive to that Clinton schedule, and they were. And so what you see, the coalition of conservatism, the people who were before called conservatism, they began to vote for Clinton. And they did because the dominant character types that they represented, the Puritan, the pioneer, or baron, they evolved in a direction, in a different direction. So what their interests were in the 1980s differed from what they were in the 1990s. And that's why the Republicans lost their governing coalition.
Now they move to George W. Bush, the Oedipal story of the Bushes.
Right. That would be an example. That was considered to be, I call it Indian summer for conservatism. Mm. It looked like there was a resurgent. They were bringing back the old three members of the coalition. You have the neoconservatives, economic conservatives, and social conservatives. But instead, what happened was, in terms of neoconservatism particularly, the debacle in Iraq, for example, that plunged that, it ruined that reputation. A lot of people who were conservative no longer believed it anymore. A lot of pioneers, for example, a lot of robber barons thought it was a waste of money to go and a waste of precious American life to go in doing that. And of course, the recession, the disaster of 2008, people began to rethink that maybe pioneers and robber barons began to think maybe the Bush administration didn't really have the economic moxie to continue capitalist growth. So some, not all, but some began to vote for Obama, and Obama won. But it was still it's a narrow coalition. It's yeah. It's a 51-49. It's still a divided country. But enough people in that who were considered, I would consider Puritans, pioneers, or barons, they gravitated towards a different worldview. They had different interests. But they still exist as types. They're still the Puritan types. Maybe instead of believing in family values, they were believing in a different set of moral views. For example, the idea that Obama being the first black president, that became something important to them. So, and I knew conservative types who believed that was very important. And so they voted for Obama for that reason. They still are the Puritan character type, but they have a different set of values. The values are changing because they're living people. Uh-huh. They do evolve. And so what was conservatism in the 1980s, social conservatism, was no longer social conservatism in the 2010s.
Now we come up to date. Having done the backstory, Ronald Dworkin, a fellow at the Institute for Advanced Studies and Culture at the University of Virginia. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.